continues his run. The back heel for Sergio Roberto. One-time cross for Luis Suarez. Oh. Luis Suarez with the opener.
Bonaventura again. Baca with a run ahead of him. Suso to his right. Here is Suso, who sends San Siro wild.
Boys all around him. Has to try and block it out. Up against Anthony Lopez. He scores confidently.
Lewandowski goes through it again. Oh, he just can't do it. You just cannot be that good. That is an amazing goal.
Hello and welcome to this, our final season review here on Bail Me Out, the URN European Football Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Dunn, and I'm joined in the studio by Alex and Joe, as we'll be going through all the action from this year's Serie A season. Before we get started, I do apologise for any banging you might hear, but we are currently doing battle with builders next door, and they couldn't shut up. So, we're going to start off then, of course, with the team that finished top of Serie A for the sixth year in a row, winning another Scudetto title. Of course, it had to be Juventus. It was their season completely. They got to the Champions League final, as we've already covered earlier, narrowly lost out to Real Madrid, but they did it in the domestic league. They were able to retain their title and extend their unprecedented amount of dominance that they have, winning the league by 4 points in the end. Not as high as it has been in the past, but a strong and contentious lead for them nonetheless. We'll be starting off with them, then running through the rest of the teams that had notable seasons and notable finishes, as well as some highlights and some key players that have performed and where we think they might be going. But of course, starting off with Juventus, Joe, in terms of like how you would rate their season, obviously another victory for them, unfortunate and disappointment for them in the Champions League, but domestically they've had a good year.
Yeah, domestically it's been a fantastic year, Jeremy. Of course, we've just had the news that Allegri's signed a new deal until 2020, which will have a massive boost for the squad, and he's really built a team this year that's competent in all departments, I would say. You know, you've got obviously Buffon, you question how many years he has left, but he's an absolute stalwart in between the sticks. You've got Barzagli and Chiellini and Bonucci at the back, who are absolutely brilliant. And so I think that Champions League game against Barcelona, in the away leg of the quarter final, was it quarter final or semi final, of the Champions League, really showcased what brilliant defending and organisation that team has. So competent, so good at playing the ball out of defence, so good at clearing the ball to one of your own teammates, which is an ability that is really underestimated. You know, Italian defenders are kind of seen as sometimes a little bit cynical, a bit happy to foul and, you know, play dirty tactics, but they're actually really, really intelligent, and they're actually really, really good ball players. And I think those players in that team really personify that. And then looking throughout the rest of the team, of course, you've got the likes of Khedira, Mandzukic, of course, who scored that wonder goal last week. You know, they've really, really come up trumps and dominated this year in Serie A and in the European competitions as well, which is good to see, because there was a stage last year and a couple of years back where no Italian teams were really kind of pushing themselves at the European level. At the European club level, and I think with Juventus doing so well domestically this year, that's really sort of they've really, really pushed on. And I think Allegri being in charge of this, having his kind of I think he's got quite adaptable tactics, which is very good. You know, they can be very attacking minded and defensively so, as seen in that quarter final against Barcelona in the Champions League. So I think it's definitely a good sign for things to come in the future.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the same story we've had for the last few years. Juventus are a great side. Easily the best in Italy right now. I don't think the season was potentially as comfortable as they'd hoped it'd be. It was only a 4 point gap which they won it by, so I don't think it was necessarily obvious that they were always going to win it, especially when they had some fairly shaky results towards the end of the season. I think it was a 1-1 draw against Torino with about 5 or 6 game weeks to go, which was a bit questionable. But listen, credit where it's due, they have a great squad, have a great setup, one of the best teams not only in Italy but also in Europe. I think the question at the minute is balls in Juventus' court, really, in that they have only really anything to lose. They can't really get any better because they are literally at the pinnacle in terms of Italian football. So it's just going to be seeing how they perform next season, whether they can sort of maintain their dominance over the Italian league. Or potentially try and expand it, but I mean they're already at the tip top.
I think that one of the key questions is hanging on to their key players. I mean, they've got also another factor is they've got so much experience, especially at the back. You know, not with just with Bonucci and Chiellini, but with Dani Alves as well, who's been, I think, personified really their success this year. He was a player that kind of was a bit shut out at Barcelona, not really making the first team in the sort of later sort of 2000s era, and then he comes to Juventus in the sort of twilight of his career and has really, really shown what a world-class player he is. I mean, the likes of Pjanic and Khedira, Dybala, of course, is the one that we've got to talk about. He was unbelievable in so many games this season. He's really, you know, he's really got that cutting edge that is so vital to Juventus when they're on the attack, and has contributed so many goals from midfield this season as well, as well as Cuadrado, I think, adds to that factor as well. I think it's those sort of players that Allegri will be keen to keep hold of in the transfer window. But of course, there will be concerns on the other foot, with the sort of rejuvenation of the defensive line, because those players are very, very experienced, but coming towards the end of their careers, they will need some youth in that team as well.
To me, it's just amazing to consider that 10 years ago they only came back into Serie A after they had all the various financial troubles and really were relegated. And it's the whole joke that in the time it took for Arsenal to win a trophy, Juventus got relegated and then promoted and then won Serie A. And I think that it's incredible to me that 10 years on they were finalists in the Champions League, have one of the best squads in Europe, albeit they're going to have to start replacing some of their players, especially in the defensive line. I agree with Joe completely there. I do think that these players are amazing, but they have to make sure they focus just as much on youth, and perhaps they can find another diamond in the rough like Dybala and model them into sort of the next generation of great Italian of great footballers in Italy. But yeah, we will have to see what happens, really.
Yes, indeed we will. That title this year was Juventus's 33rd, meaning that they are by far outright the leading team in Serie A for the most number of titles. That is, of course, excluding their one which were involved in the Calciopoli scandal, which in 2005. Interestingly, though, guys, just on one quick thing just before we move on talking about, I mean, we talked about on two points here. One, transfers in. There's been not much talk with Juve as to who they're definitely going after. There's been a lot of rumours, mostly going after players that might be out of contract, that being a typical very canny Juve way, like they did with Dani Alves, going after players that are on the point of going out. Iniesta's been one link to them, although whether that's going to likely occur is completely debatable. But the other thing, which sort of strikes me most interesting, is Juventus haven't actually had a player that has won the Golden Boot since 2007. That's 10 years now they've gone without a Golden Boot winner, and that was, of course, Alessandro Del Piero, the legend for Juventus. Since then, they have not been able to win the Golden Boot outright, despite the fact they brought in last year's Golden Boot winner in Gonzalo Higuain, who got 36 goals last season. Hasn't been able to recapture it, as in this year it was Edin Dzeko for Roma that walked away with it. Perhaps that's something that they now need. I mean, we've talked about there, they have got quality individual talent players such as Dybala and Higuain and Mandzukic that can attack, but none of them have quite yet. I mean, Higuain's season last year, I think a lot of people saw regards as a bit of a blip. He is someone that is known to falter in some of the big games. He doesn't always show up for them. Mandzukic is ticking down the end of his career. Dybala could be the player that might be able to step it up potentially, but it's going to be interesting. Do we think that what Juventus kind of now need is that definite 20 goals per season striker to perhaps fill in for Higuain? There's been a lot of talk potentially of Romelu Lukaku maybe going to them. I mean, what would we kind of think in sort of potential signs they might go for up front?
I think Romelu Lukaku would definitely fill in that sort of missing link in that Juventus team. I mean, you talk about Dybala there, but he's mainly a winger or a central attacking midfielder. He probably can contribute about 10 or 12 goals a season, but not really hit the jackpot in terms of gaining that Golden Boot in Serie A. I think Higuain probably has misfired a little bit this season. Not quite the player that he was at. I think he's kind of become a different type of player, more of a kind of holding up sort of striker, a lot of strength and laying off to others for them to go and attack. As he's sort of gained more experience and gained age as well, so his pace has sort of dwindled a bit. I think they've got to look at either sort of someone of his mould, someone like a Lukaku, who is that sort of strong, robust centre forward figure who can score 20 goals a season, or they've kind of got to look at someone a bit more sprightly, maybe an Mbappe or someone like of that ilk that can make those runs that strikers who run tirelessly are prepared to make in between those back lines and really stretch defences. I think that could be the key.
I actually just think they it's quite a simplistic view. I think they need a target man. Someone like Mandzukic, but perhaps maybe of a slightly higher quality, because he's a good player, but he's not world class. I mean, there was a world class goal he scored against Real Madrid, but I still wouldn't regard him as a world class player. I think someone like Lukaku or Lukaku himself would go very, very far at Juventus, because I've always have felt that in that squad, I don't think Higuain can play the role of target man. He's a good striker, and he had an extraordinary season last season. But he's a lot more of a supportive striker, a sort of player to play alongside potentially a target man. I think a player like Lukaku, someone who can literally just be a towering threat in the box from set pieces and has a hell of a right or left foot on them, I think that's exactly what they need. And if they do bring that in, I could see them potentially scoring a lot more goals and being a lot more of a force up front.
Well, it'll be interesting to see who Juve actually go for this transfer window. Obviously, there hasn't been news from them. Has been a little bit thin on the ground at the moment. But with Allegri signing that new contract, like Joe said, we might start to hear a couple more rumours trickling out of the woodwork soon. Moving then further down the table, we then find the other two teams that finished in the Champions League places, those being Roma and Napoli. Napoli, of course, coming in third, which means due to Serie A only having 3 Champions League places, they will have to go through into a playoff match, similar to the situation that Liverpool are facing here in the UK. Now, these two teams have both had phenomenal seasons. They are the two highest scoring teams in terms of goals for, with Napoli on 94 goals and Roma on 90, but the teams also have very similar defensive leaks at their back, you could say. 38 goals conceded for Roma to 39 for Napoli. Massive seasons for both teams there, but I think we have to start off with Roma, and they've had a phenomenal season. Spalletti, though, has unfortunately left, and he isn't the only man that has left the team, of course, this year. Famously, we have to look at the number 10 for them. El Gladiatore has finally hung up his boots for the Eternal City team of Roma. Joe, just in terms of, I mean, we could probably talk for ages about what we think of Totti, but just very quickly, in terms of what this means now for both him and Roma going forward.
I mean, there's no doubt that the absence of Totti and his departure from Roma will leave a massive hole. He personified everything that is so great about Italian football, the kind of loyalty to your region, the loyalty to your club, the fact that he is such a... It did have the potential, I think, to be such a world-class player, sort of in the early 2000s era, but always was very loyal to his region and loyal to the fans as well. I think that's kind of divided opinion a little bit in Italy. You know, some people feel like he could have gone to achieve great things if he moved to, say, Juventus or Real Madrid or Barcelona or something like that. That would have been, you know, nonetheless, though, over 700 appearances for his home city club. A wonderful, wonderful player, capable of absolute brilliance on his day, honestly, but then also capable of absolute petulance as well. I just recall that spit in the Euro 2004 game against Denmark as one example. But no, very, very highly regarded and well-respected player in Serie A. His departure, though, along with the manager Spalletti, of course, who had a spell at the club previously in, I think it was between, was it 2008-2010, something like that. Those two departures will leave a massive hole upon this Roma team, and they'll be searching for a new identity, I think. Because apart from Juventus, they have been the best team in Serie A this season. You know, we mentioned Dzeko, of course, the likes of Totti, De Rossi and Salah and Perotti have all really, really come up trumps this year and done justice.
I mean, he's a legend. It's not a term I use lightly. I think, unfortunately, he's sort of the end of a dying breed of footballer, in that he's a player who came through the Roma youth system. He's been there his whole career. He had attention at one point from pretty much... He could have gone to any club in the world. He could have gone anywhere. And he stuck by his team, despite the fact that while they were always good, they were never really like world-class Roma. He's amazing. Over 700 appearances. Players like him, players like John Terry, or arguably Terry is a bit more controversial figure, but I think it's quite sad because you see that fewer and fewer these days with players who are so committed to their own club they'd never consider like leaving, or they'd never consider going to a rival club. And it really is nice to see that you got a great, great send-off. They didn't win the league, which is a shame, but they came bloody close. They put up a really good fight. So, I mean, he's going to be almost impossible to replace. And I think that you could see a big hit in Roma morale next season. But who knows, you might find him in the backroom staff for next season. So I think that would be a very smart move.
I think like a Terry, like a Gerrard, he's probably... leaving with the eye that he's going to come back in a couple of years and, you know, do his coaching badges and then fill in at some sort of academy role or work his way up through the ranks at Roma in terms of the management side of things. I mean, he's achieved pretty much everything there is to achieve in football. I mean, his World Cup winner 2006, Scudetti winner on multiple occasions as well, not so much recently, but definitely in the prime of his career. He was really, really, yeah, top player and will be so missed by the Roma faithful.
Yes, indeed, it will be. It is a great shame to see him leaving. But Joe, you touched on their own management. Now, the issue has been floating around. This year, Roma have been fantastic, free scoring, beautiful to watch an attack. It has seemed almost naturally that a load of their players have immediately become the gossip of the tabloids as to who they might be joining, probably here in Britain. We've seen today that Rajan Nangalan has been linked to the move to Manchester United. Mohamed Salah, of course, is currently involved in a protracted saga as to will he, won't he move to Liverpool. But just in terms of who they might get in as the manager, a lot of the talk that's been going on, this is one which I would seriously back, because I think this would turn Roma into that sort of from the bridesmaid into the bride. It would really be the one which transforms them as the club. They currently have Monchi, who was the former Seville director of football, as their new director of football, renowned of course for finding players on a cheap that he can turn into world class talent. And a lot of the talk at the moment as to who they might bring in is Thomas Tuchel as the new replacement. Now, the prospect of Tuchel combining with Monchi at Roma just sort of would probably turn them into one of the most well-supported clubs in the world. So a fantastic team to watch in terms of their free-playing, attacking, talented unit that they have, and depending on who they get in recruitment. Roma's next step, I think we can probably agree, is to win one of the two domestic trophies on offer in Italy, in either the Coppa Italia or the Scudetto. But of course that means wrestling both of them away from Juventus' hold. If they are able to recruit a good high calibre manager and they are able to build on Spalletti's success this season, do we think that they could at least achieve one of those? Maybe not both, but they did push Juventus to just 4 points off. Could next year be the year that the Wolf of Rome resurfaces?
It's a difficult one. I think that the Coppa Italia is definitely achievable. I think with Dzeko's goals, Perotti in midfield, if he said it's just such a question as to whether these players will stay. I mean, you talk about Nainggolan and Salah potentially leaving the club, which will have a massive impact. Of course, the Spalletti's just left, as has Totti. So there's definitely going to be a reshuffle and a kind of resurfacing of some sort of stability over over at the Olympic Stadium in Rome. But it's a difficult one because you can't see past Juventus's dominance in so many ways, their dominance rather, and it's interesting because they kind of have a duty and an objective to rejuvenate as well a lot of their team. So I think it's a kind of a question which you can't really pose at the moment. I think you've probably got to wait towards the end of the transfer window to make a real judgment as to whether they can mount a serious title and Coppa Italia challenge. I would say, though, that Spalletti has given them a very good basis for them to do so. It's just a question of how many players they keep, what kind of players they recruit and bring in, and the agenda of the management, as you say, the director of football, former Sevilla director of football, looks to be a figure of real real prominence down at Roma. So hopefully he will, you know, help recruit a good manager and some good players as well, to improve their already very decent success. I mean, look, they're in the Champions League, which gives them another thing to play for as well, which they haven't had in previous years too. So I think there's definitely potential for them to be a good force next season.
I mean, they've picked a hell of a time for this resurgence, at a time where Juventus, I don't think, have ever been stronger in the last 10 years or so. That's going to be their big problem with trying to win Serie A. I just think that Juventus, I mean, as Joe said, they're so dominant. I think transfer window will play an impact, whether we see Juventus bringing in some crucial signings, such as a target man. And then, who knows, we may also see Roma making some big signings. We'll have to see. But I do think that while it's possible, and I think they can definitely win the cup, the league is a lot more unlikely, just because Juventus are so good and they're so controlling, even on a European stage, whereby I think, I mean, we were talking about it on the last podcast, that when Juventus conceded those four goals against Real Madrid in the final, that was more goals than they conceded in the entire competition. So with the defence and squad that good, it's going to be very difficult for a side like Roma, regardless of signings and motivation, to really try and push ahead of them in the league.
It's so interesting, because it is so much a case of who they hung on to in this transfer window. I mean, El Shaarawy, I think, is a real key player for them. I think De Rossi as well will almost fill the boots of Totti at Roma, another long-term servant of the club down there. As well, you've got Perotti and Salah, who we've already mentioned too. So it really is dependent on so many factors, but nonetheless, I think that the dominant end of the season as well they had was, you know, very impressive. I mean, 4-1 win over Milan, a 3-1 win over Juventus, in fact, in April, which was brilliant. I mean, marred a little bit by that defeat to Lazio. I think they'll be very much hurting from that and hoping to win the Derby della Capitale next year to reassert their dominance in the capital. But nonetheless, it looks very well poised. I think if we assess the situation at the end of the transfer window, I think we'll get a very, very good idea about how their title challenge and how their cup challenge fares up.
Yes, indeed. So Roma have had a good season. It's one which hopefully they can build on, but we're going to, like Joe said there, it's all going to depend on what happens in this transfer window, as it's probably going to depend with so many teams going on. Now, moving further down the table, we have in third place Napoli, who were powered to victory by Dries Mertens. I'm sure we could be talking about a lot of these teams for quite a bit, but due to the fact on time, I'm just sort of slightly thinking that we will probably go through each one, sort of look at them very, in a way, coldly, I suppose you might say, but matter-of-factly. So Napoli, they had a good season in third place. Below them, of course, into the European spots we now go, are Atalanta, who excelled this season, pushing themselves up into fourth place, followed closely by Lazio, and then behind them in sixth and seventh are the two Milan teams. Outside the top three, it then becomes quite a tightly compact situation, because Napoli finished on 86 points, and then below them, Atalanta in fourth place, 72 points. That's a heck of a drop, even by the standards which you might expect potentially of Italian football to sometimes have those teams that pull away so much. But just in terms of how you would rate those seasons then, particularly Napoli for their strong push that they made right the way to the end, they lost the fewest amount of games in the entirety of Serie A, only four. And then below them you have Atalanta, who exceeded all expectations. Guys, just sort of on how you'd rate their two seasons, sort of one performing well despite the fact we thought without Higuain they might struggle, and the other exceeding all expectations.
Yeah, definitely. I think Napoli have really kicked on. I mean, arguably, yes, the season has been very much been a success on the shoulder of Dries Mertens, the Belgian centre midfielder. I think he's been fantastic all year round. I mean, if you look at most of their results, they don't really concede too much as well, which has been a massive factor in their success. I mean, a 5-0 win on the last day of the season against Torino, albeit one of the lesser teams in Serie A, really does give indication to that dominance. you've got the likes of Insigne as well, Callejon, who, you know, the brilliant players who definitely can make a mark in, like Roma, in the Coppa Italia for the title Scudetti and Champions League next year. We've seen a lot of British clubs in recent years gone by, you know, with their trips down to Napoli, receive a very hostile reception, firstly from the fans, and have a very, very difficult game. Napoli always put up a very, very strong challenge in all forms of competition, play with their heart and their save, and play like Roma, very beautiful attacking football. That's what they kind of pride themselves on, at least. So I think they've got every chance of building on the success they've had this season, obviously notably without Higuain, who was so instrumental last year, to go on to greater things next season.
Yeah, I mean, Napoli again, alongside Roma and Juventus, they were miles apart from the other teams in Serie A. They've had a very good season. They've got a good squad. I think they do rely slightly on their starting 11. I think if you went a bit further and looked at who was on the bench and who's in their sort of reserves, that's, for me, currently the reason I don't think they're ever going to be a top quality side with that sort of rotation, where I think Tottenham actually face a similar problem in the Premier League, where you've got a great starting 11, but a few key injuries can completely cripple the squad, which is completely separate from a team like Chelsea or Real Madrid, who have a lot of talent just sitting on the benches waiting to be used. Nonetheless, a great effort from Napoli this season. That they are a team who does play more sort of stylized football than strategized football. I think that they're very much, they play to attack and they play fluid football. They don't mind if they concede a goal as long as they win, and they're almost the polar opposite of a team like Manchester United at the moment, who are very much sort of like, they're going to play defensively, they're going to sit back and they're going to wait, and they're just going to be smart about the way they play, which I think could also be a big drawback for Napoli. But listen, credit where it's due, to come third place against and really come so close to two very good teams is an absolute accomplishment, which they should be commended for.
And just looking at some of those other teams down there, Atalanta's a massive surprise this season. Fourth place, a fantastic achievement for them. Not really any household names in their squad, almost similar to Sampdoria in a way in previous seasons. They've kind of been seen as a sort of sell-on club, you know, some success during the 1990s, but nothing really that notable in the 2000s era, and one that kind of cultivates, you know, good players. And I think Andrea Pirlo started his career at Atalanta, you know, top players that come from that region of Italy but go on to the northern clubs, often the Milan teams or Juventus, to really ply their trade.
What, the Southampton?
Almost a sort of sell-on club. But no, nonetheless, a great demonstration that it's you know, the team as a whole. I mean, that 2-2 draw with Juventus at the end of the season really demonstrated that kind of element of team spirit, and demonstrated that the whole is greater than the sum of the individual, which is personified by that team.
Yeah, I think it's actually been very good to see what they symbolise alongside other teams in Europe, whereby for a few years, I think in the late sort of 2000s, you had the sort of across Europe system where there were the big teams and then there were the other teams, but now we've seen that beginning to splinter slightly. So the miraculous rise of Leicester in the Premier League, and then you've got the rise of Leipzig in Germany, and then you've got Atlanta here. It is very, very refreshing to see the fact that it's not only big teams who are finishing in these high places anymore, and it's becoming a lot more competitive, especially in leagues like Italy, where you go back 10 years and it was AC Milan, Inter Milan and sometimes Juventus, and that was pretty much it.
Yes, indeed. So there we are. We have the top three, plus also honourable mentions must go to Atalanta, and I suppose well to Lazio for putting up a sterling fight themselves as they made it into the Europa League positions for themselves. But now I'm going to take you on a complete flip side and look then at teams that will be wishing that this season hadn't occurred at all. Down at the bottom of Serie A, rotting there on only 18 points, are Pescara, followed up by Palermo, a real shock one, that one of the larger teams, but they've always been one that's been battling close to to the bottom, and then just ahead of them, also going down, are Empoli, who missed out on salvation by 2 points as Corentin finished ahead of them on 34, whilst they could only manage 32 points. Disappointing year, I think it's safe to say, guys, for those three teams. Palermo especially would be the one I would pick out, because they're always a team that have done quite well. They are, of course, Paolo Dybala's former club, and they are ones which have sold off quite a lot of their big strikes over the last few years. Dybala, but also Vasquez, who went to Seville this season, despite the fact that he was also one that's been playing very well. Unfortunate, I think it's safe to say, for those three teams. I mean, your thoughts on kind of how their season unfortunately trickled out at the end?
Yeah, definitely. I think Palermo is an interesting one to pick out among that. I think it was always going to be quite difficult to Pescara for them to kind of make it and stamp their foot on Serie A, coming up from Serie B not so long ago, but Palermo you'd associate with, you know, the Europa League spots and the higher half of the table, especially in recent years, when considering their position this year is 19th with a minus 44 goal difference. Really not a good season at all for them whatsoever. I mean, just seeing that last, well, one of their defeats during April, 6-2 against Lazio, not really at all what they wanted, sacking their fourth manager of the season in the same month as well, you know, kind of what we're used to in Forest, with Nottingham's football teams, really. But yeah, nonetheless, it just seems so unstable and such a shadow of what we've been used to from them in recent years.
I mean, for me, it was really quite summed up. I think with about eight game weeks to go, no, it was less than that, it was about six or seven game weeks to go, and Palermo at this point, it was looking fairly likely they were going to go down, but they still had a chance of survival, and they played Pescara, who had literally been absolutely dire all season, and they drew 0-0 to Pescara, and they only had about three shots. It was one of the most dire games of football I think I've ever seen, and the fact that you can't even beat a team like Pescara, who literally didn't look like they wanted to be there, they looked like they'd been picked out of the crowd, they didn't look like a football team at all. And I mean, I do sympathise more so with Palermo fans than Palermo themselves, because listen, to be that bad, it's not like they put up a fight. If you've got a negative 44 goal difference, you deserve to go down. So at the end of the day, I think the squad's going to really need to like a big change, and they're going to massively have to make some investment if they want to bring him back to the sort of team which Palermo used to be known as, because they were never like top in Italy, but they were always considered to be, I think, top half if not Europe, which is a very long way from where they are now.
Yeah, it's a real shame, I think it has to be said, for those three teams that will be going down. However, Pescara have unfortunately dug their own grave even further by offering Francesco Totti a trial at their team, which I think when you offer, like we've been talking about earlier, one of the most loyal and greatest players that Serie A has ever seen a trial, you really are shooting yourselves in the foot there. So I think it's bye-bye to them, and we won't hold the door open for you anymore. So that's those teams we've looked in at the bottom. Now we're going to come slightly further back up the table, guys, and look at three, I would say teams, but I think one of them is definitely, certainly I would say, an individual that's disappointed, and three teams that haven't particularly done as well that I would point out, and that is AC Milan and Inter Milan. They haven't pushed on as much as they wanted, but most importantly, coming in at number nine is Torino, and specifically the case of Joe Hart, obviously. Went out there to rejuvenate his career, and it did not work. Torino said that they thought, and I believe the Torino boss said that something along the lines of, he thought an England international goalkeeper wouldn't let in so many goals. Clearly he didn't watch the Euros before he went and decided to buy Joe Hart. But on those three teams, disappointing seasons, I would personally put them in. But I want to hear your guys' thoughts on how you think those three can move on. And that will probably be the last thing we say before we wrap it up for this review.
Yeah, I think the case of the Milan clubs is a particularly interesting one. I mean, probably both teams are in a period of immense transition. I know Milan especially are employing a lot of youth players in their first team at the moment. Of course, you've got Donnarumma in goal, who's outstanding, but there's a lot of players
at this point, they might as well give it a go.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of players in that team that will follow suit, and they're just, again, like some of the other teams in like Palermo in Serie A, just a shadow of what we're used to, really. You know, we're used to Milan teams being dominant on the European stage. I mean, we think back to, you know, Diego Milito's two goals in the Champions League final in 2010, and you know how excellent they were in that game, and you know, just, you know, the era of Bergkamp and Clover and Van Basten and
Ronaldinho.
Yeah, the attraction of world-class players to these Milan clubs. You know, Milan getting in two Champions League finals in 2 years during the mid-2000s era as well. It's just, they are so, so far off that at the moment, and it's going to take something really, really significant for them to get back to that level. They've got to sort of follow a similar path of investment and Italian experience, I think. A path of Italian experience, like the model that Juventus have followed with Allegri. I think that, you know, I think there's a lot of, there's some world class players, like I think Candreva's probably the best player for both teams, for Inter Milan in particular, but they're just, yeah, just so far off what they used to be, and it's going to be a long time coming before I think they reach those similar levels again.
Yeah, I don't even think it's funny at this point. It's just quite sad to watch two teams with such unrivaled prestige. The sort of, when you think Italian football, you think AC and Inter and that legendary rivalry and sharing a stadium and all sorts. But it has just completely gone downhill in the last few years. And I'd imagine if you would have said, say, 15 years ago, or in 15 years' time, where are AC and Inter Milan going to be? You would not have said 6th or 7th, right behind Atlanta. So it is very poor from both of them. I think, you, Jeremy, you mentioned Joe Hart and Torino. I think Joe Hart's had a very hard rap. I think he was a fantastic keeper for Man City, and I was actually very surprised that after one bad competition they decided to almost throw him out to the curb. Granted, he hasn't had the best season in Italy, but on the other hand, he hasn't had the best team to play with either. It's not like he's gone to Juventus and let in loads of goals, and when you're a keeper, a lot of it does come down to the defence and how well you know them and how good they are. So I do think that it'd be a real, real shame if... So he's going to leave City. I mean, it's going to happen. But it'd be a shame if he ended up at some mid-table club in Italy, or really anywhere. I think he's a lot better than that, and I think it's really disappointing to see how he's been treated.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Joe Hart was a world-class goalkeeper a couple of years back. I think that the Euro 2016 tournament was in many ways a defining moment for his career and a real, real turning point, which definitely turned out for the worst. You know, those lapses in concentration against Iceland and Wales were just absolutely criminal. And at Torino, I don't think he's had too much of a bad season, but you're right, Alex. I think the defence is certainly as much to blame as... you know, as Joe Hart himself. I mean, at Man City, he had the likes of Kompany and Di Michaelis and, you know, Zabaleta in front of him, whereas at Torino, there are players of half of that stature, you know.
It's just neighbour Torino.
Yeah, whereas it's just not, you know, it's not really conducive to what he's used to been playing with previously. But nonetheless, I think Torino's season, just in the top half of that Serie A table, I think that represents a decent season for them. You know, they could be looking over their shoulders and comparing themselves to teams like Palermo, and, you know, certainly won't want that. So it's not a bad season for them. I think just a final point on those Milan teams, and, you know, how we see there's a shadow of they're a shadow of their former selves. I think the change in ownership, particularly of Milan, which is a massive issue. Berlusconi, of course, sold the club a couple of months back to some Chinese investors, and I think they're still in a real period of transition there. Hopefully, with this new Chinese investment, of course, we've seen in the Chinese domestic league how much money there is in football.
Hopefully,
you know, money is the way that football is going these days. Hopefully, this investment will enable AC Milan to get back to the level of former heights, and then in turn push Inter to a similar level, because that's what we need to see. We need to see a good sort of those two Milan clubs, Juventus and then Roma as well. That's what we're kind of used to seeing as the top four in Serie A. But we're at a stage now where Lazio and Roma have both overtaken them in Serie A, which we haven't really seen for a very long time.
I do hope that with this new investment they do continue pushing for that better youth system, as they've really done a little bit more this season. I think it's all very well to get in a load of money, buy a load of big players and then have a surge of success for about 5 years, but the really, really good clubs are the ones with these amazing youth systems. So Barcelona are probably the sort of go-to example for this, and I think that I hope that some of the investments this club doesn't just go to players, but it goes to sort of infrastructure and genuinely sort of developing the club further. And I think that will pay off more in the long term. We'll have to see. Time will tell.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, and hopefully, like the guys have said, with the new money that's come into both Milan clubs, we can see a resurgence in them and they can climb back up the table. As for Joe Hart, it seems that the Italy adventure wasn't quite what he'd planned out for, and he'll be leaving there with a bit disheartened. And also, it looks like now, with the arrival of Edison that's been confirmed today for, we believe, €40 million to Man City, that his place at the Met, that he will find the door well and truly slammed shut in his face. There is talk that potentially of a move to Everton, but we'll see over the next few days, because of course we are in the midst of silly season that is the transfer window. So that is it for our review of this year's Serie A action. It's been an eventful season outside of probably, you'd say, the top spot, which inevitably would go to Juventus, but they were pushed all the way in the end by firm and well performances from Roma and also Napoli. I'd like to thank both Alex and Joe for joining me here, and that has been our Bail Me Out Serie A season review.
This is URN Sport.